Thank you for listening to Detroit Lions on the Prowl on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. Some said we would go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lunchtime Detroit Lions Talk, brought to you by the Detroit Lions on the Prowl and the Belly Up Sports Network. Today, we have Jeremy the Stash Reisman here with us today. And this is going to be a great and fun show. What else we got coming up there, Kurt?
Hey, what up, though? Welcome to the show, people. You know who we are. We are Detroit Lions on the Prowl. Your home for Detroit Lions news and rumors. And we're going to have some questions and answers for Jeremy. Yeah, he's going to tell us some good stories about, the Stash. You know, we're going to have the Wall of Fame, your comment cards, question of the day, and the dessert with your man, Kurt. Let's get this thing started.
Right now.
Let go.
Let's do this, baby.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. And now we're going to come to your questions for Jeremy the Stash Reisman. And what you got first there, Kurt?
All right. Gene Forniak says, how many subs for mutton chops?
Oh, man. It probably a lot more, honestly, because this mustache is like, it took me a good 2, 3, 4 months. I think now it's been 4 months to grow this thing out. Mutton chops would take even longer than that. I don't know if I can grow hair here. It'd be like a whole new adventure. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, at some point, I think I'm turning into a cartoon character here. So let's put it at 500 subs. Let's put it at 500.
We got an answer. Okay. That's a good answer.
Okay.
I got Izzy 777. He says, since the Stash is Deuce Staley approved, will he keep it? Also, what brand of coat would you buy for Jared Goff since he has never been in the winter weather? Considering it's pretty much his first coat ever, it better be good.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of the mustache, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I'm more than willing to indulge our followers and our fans and I guess do Staley. But here's the thing, like, I could shave the mustache and then grow it out again by the time I probably see Deuce Staley again, because we don't really interview the running backs coach all that often.
Right.
So I could sneak in like a good 2 months of just being mustache free, which would be pretty freeing, I think, at this point. As for Jared Goff, like, I don't know, like, I'm picturing like a nice like 70s furry, like, not almost like a mink coat. I feel like he's strutting into like DTW.
Yeah, like, man. Fall fur, like, man.
Maybe a top hat too.
He's gonna be
all right, man. You gotta go fall fur, man.
I think you have to go. No, my jacket would be the Eddie Murphy Detroit Lions jacket.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
That would be my go-to.
Classic.
North Face, man.
I like the old starter jackets, like the main starter jacket.
You can get them on those like the gear sites now because they didn't make a comeback. All those starter jackets. But he's a California pretty boy. He needs a North Face. He's gonna freeze.
Okay. Yeah, he's gonna need something pretty heavy duty.
He's gonna freeze in a starter jacket.
Yeah,
man.
That's probably true.
All right, last one. Ken says, does he comb his mustache with beard oil products? And which beard or oil products do you use on your stash? On another note, do you guys plan to do any more features with Pride of Detroit? Man, of course we're gonna do some more features for Pride of Detroit, man. Come on, man. I'll answer the last question.
Our question, or is he asking him if he's gonna do any more features with himself?
Hey, are you gonna do more features? That question for us. Yes, we're gonna do as much as we can get these guys on, man. We're gonna be on there. But do you comb your mustache? Do you have a Tom Selleck comb, or do you use like grooming products and your beard? No, I do use. In mine. So
yeah, well, I'm pretty new to the facial hair game. Like this is not something I'm accustomed to. So I'm still kind of like a novice with all this stuff. I do have like a beard oil product. It was more when I had like, I had a goatee for a little bit and the chin is really what got itchy. And so now that I don't really use it. I don't groom this much at all. I guess I didn't know that I was supposed to be doing that. The one thing that I'm terrified of though is like, when I shave this, am I just going to have a bunch of like patchy gross skin underneath it with,
that'd be terrible. You know, any advice I can give you, man, I'm 49 years old and I haven't shaved my mustache in 30 years.
Ooh, 19. You're the guy I need to be talking to.
So if you need some advice, today, man, I got you. I got you. So haven't shaved it and I've had some type of mustache since I was 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I could grow one at 19.
That is not what we want here. Anyway, no, we're going to go into the main course now. We're going to talk to Jeremy. It's going to be a strict just conversation with Jeremy and have a good time.
It's Jeremy day today. We're going to celebrate Jeremy Reisman today. It's Jeremy's day. It's your world, brother. Okay, the first thing we got to ask you, what was your reaction when Deuce Staley just called you out in the press conference, man? I've been wanting to ask you this since the press conference happened.
Yeah, I mean, it caught me completely off guard, obviously, because I was like, oh, I'm in off-season mode. I don't have any questions. Go away. Like, I had a complete deer in the headlights moment.
Yeah, I heard.
When he said, you know, where's the dude with the mustache? I wasn't even sure he was calling on me because I don't know if you know this. Kyle Meinke is sporting a pretty nice mustache of his own. I think it's now turned into a goatee. But, like, yeah, I was just like, what? Like, me? You're talking to me right now? What for? Because I mean, if you've only seen the clip or maybe you saw the whole press conference, like he was done. Like the Lions PR guy was like, okay, you're done, Deuce. Like you can get out of here. And so like I was already preparing for the next person, and then suddenly it's like, where's the dude with the mustache? I'm like, uh-oh. Because I was done. I was ready to move on, but I mean, it was a fun press conference for really all the coaches there. So it's nice to have a little fun during those press conferences because they've been pretty dreary for the past 3 years.
It does feel like the energy's different
though. Yeah,
it yeah, does. It is. And to be fair,
like some kneecaps and talk about mustaches.
And it's easy to kind of be fun and loose like that when the team's 0-0 though, right? Like we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, if we come December, are we still going to have that energy coming from everybody?
Well, we do have a new opportunity. We've never went 0-17. I don't think that's ever been done.
That's true.
So
that's true. Good point.
The NFL record.
One thing I want to ask is what was the origination of, I don't know if that's a word, but anyway, I'm going to use it anyway, of the mustache. How did that come about?
So it started as just like a Movember campaign, you know, people, if you don't know,
like hockey players.
Yeah. You grow out your mustache in November, I should say. And, you raise money for men's health. And so that's been something I've been trying to do with our live audience over on Twitch and YouTube is just to kind of like turn it into a foundation of raising money. Twitch is really good about that. And we have an awesome Twitch community. So we raised a bunch of money in November and I plan to end it in November. But then like, I just kind of got the idea, well, you know, let's put a tiny bit of money in our pocket and say like, if we get this many subscriptions on this Twitch channel during this one podcast, I'll keep it 1 week. And people loved it. I guess we all have a little Deuce Staley in us and to get fascinated by a mustache on someone that normally doesn't have a mustache. So it just kept growing and growing and we kept putting the goal further and further and people kept supporting us. We just recorded a podcast this week where I decided let's not get subscriptions. Let's raise money for Texas. And so we raised $2,000 for the Austin Area Urban
Good
League,
job.
Which means I am keeping this mustache for 4 more weeks because we set every $500 we raised, I was going to keep it another week. And so it's really become a cash cow. And even though I don't particularly like it, if I can do some good with it, then it's totally worth keeping.
So do you think, Jeremy, that it's the idea that they like it or they like that you don't like it?
it's definitely a mixture of the two, 100%.
Yeah.
People like to see me tortured. I mean, a lot of times we've done some like,
I've seen some of their Twitch.
Charity drive. Yeah, like I've drank in a mozzarella sticks.
I remember that.
Mozzarella sticks milkshake.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got mustaches on the mind right now. So hold on. I gotta do something really quick. I got mustaches on the mind. There we go.
The stash. All right. Hey, thank you for doing that. I have family out in Texas. My daughter and my son-in-law and my grandkids are out there. And then my brother and my nephew are out there. I have an adult nephew that lives in all three live in San Antonio. They weren't affected, but you know, anything you can do to help, you know, that cause is amazing. So thank you very much for doing that for the families out there affected by that terrible winter storm that hit Texas. That's just crazy. My next question for you is, we made the announcement yesterday with Eric Schlitt joining Pride of Detroit. Can you give us some background on you and Eric and how you guys, because I saw Eric's daughter with the bacon mustache on social media. So can you give the people some background on how you and Eric, that partnership came to happen?
Yeah, I mean, Lions Wire and Pride of Detroit got credentials with the Lions right around the same time. So we both, you know, felt like kind of the newbies in the media room. So we just kind of immediately latched onto each other, you know, there in training camp. Our seats up at the press booth are right next to each other. So over the past 3 years, we've really just kind of developed a friendly relationship that, you know, we would shoot questions off each other. We would share information with each other if we needed it. And so it's something that's just kind of been festering in the background for a long time. And, you know, when our deputy editor stepped down at the end of the year in 2020, I immediately thought of Eric and thought, you know, we've joked plenty of times about, you know, working together in some capacity, whether it be, you know, a podcast or whatever. But I thought, you know, the opportunity for us to work together, basically be two full-time, two credentialed people at Pride of Detroit, which is both things we've never really had, is two full-time employees, two credentialed people. It'll open a huge opportunity for us. It'll take some load off our shoulders so that we can do some fun stuff that, you know, might take a little bit longer because, you know, the life of a beat writer is tough. You don't really get time off ever. News could come down right now and I might have to jump off the show and take it. That's the lifestyle you have to live. So now partnered with Eric, who is just as committed to the job, I can go walk the dog and not have to check my phone a million times to make sure, you know, Desmond Trufant isn't cut yet or something like that. So it's great. And Eric's a phenomenal writer. He teaches me things about the game all the time. I hope that I teach him some things as well. So it's going to be a great partnership at Pride of Detroit, and it's going to be a new era that I think we're going to be able to do some stuff that we've never done before.
I love Eric, and my go-to is Pride of Detroit for a lot of my news and all the stuff that we do here. Jeremy, you've been an inspiration for me personally for quite a while now. I just wanted to let you know, but yeah, it's been so much fun. Every time we come on here, we just have a blast every single time. And then we had Eric on a couple of times. I know Kurt has interviewed Eric. I've interviewed Eric and I love him as an individual. I think he's an awesome person, first of all,
100%.
But just a wealth of knowledge. Yeah. Oh my goodness. He knows his football.
He does.
Yeah,
he really does.
Yeah, he blasted Shawnee J and we did some Lions trivia. And Shawnee J is a pretty good Lions trivia guy over here on Die Hard Den. But Eric killed him. He wasn't even close.
He knows a lot. And so it's going to be I think it's going to add such a dimension to you guys. I think it is a huge get for you guys. And I think that people will really appreciate his writing style and the information, the overkill of information he gives.
I mean, yes, that's what he's hired for. I mean, he goes in depth on everything. And I think one of there are a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about football, but Eric is so good at organization of his thoughts that he presents it in such a digestible way that is really kind of a rare talent to have, both that organizational skills, writing skills, and just plain knowledge of the game.
That's very well said. Yeah, very well said. because I see the same things in Eric. And I'll tell you what, I really think this is going to explode Pride of Detroit. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think you guys are going to really benefit from the partnership there.
100%. I appreciate you saying that.
Let's go into some football. Sure. You know, people on here might want to hear some thoughts about this team that we are covering right now. We've done the mustache, and now we're going to go into the nuts and bolts of the team this year. What do you think of the organization as a whole right now, led by Sheila Ford Hamp? What do you think about this? What is your thoughts? We've given ours, obviously, but what are your thoughts about this whole organization?
I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with the offseason so far. I thought really, I was kind of wishy-washy on Dan Campbell. You know, I tended to think, you know, maybe I want more of an X's and O's guys and someone who's going to just out strategy someone on the field. But I said at the time I was going to hold off my full thoughts on Dan Campbell until I see the staff he assembles. And I have to say, you know, I couldn't imagine it going much better. These are some hot commodity guys, you know, like Deuce Staley is a guy that mm-hmm. was courted by many people. Aaron Glenn was a guy who did a head coaching interview, a guy that a lot of people thought was in his future. Getting him as a defensive coordinator, I think, is a huge win. And then realizing some of the weaknesses of their staff, they went out and got a bunch of experienced guys that can help them. Dom Capers, you know, didn't have a great year in Minnesota last year, but is a guy that can help a guy like Deuce Staley as a first-time defensive coordinator bounce ideas. Todd Wash is a former defensive coordinator, so he can help him out there. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Anthony Lynn, I think, is a great hire. It was one that I was kind of wishy-washy a little bit at the beginning, but then I kind of dug in to his history. He's built great passing games. He's built great running games. He's really a well-rounded guy, and I think maybe taking a step back into the offensive coordinator role instead of being a head coach will be good for him. And I mean, there's the former player thing. Like, I think we saw it in the press conference. These guys are very affable. These guys are very likable. These guys, I think they're going to be ready to motivate. And instead of, you know, motivating with the stick, I think they're going to start motivating with the carrot. And I think that's better. I think you're treating players as people instead of, you know, students or whatever. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's all on paper at this point, and I still think the roster has a very, very long way to go. But, you know, I think 2 years down the line, this team has a very good chance to have taken a significant step in the right direction.
Yeah. Looking at that, we talked about Sheila Ford Hamp, and there's the reports out now that she's sitting in meetings and, mm-hmm. you know, something that really hasn't happened with leadership as far as the ownership of the organization. What are your thoughts on Sheila Ford Hamp sitting in some of these meetings?
Yeah, I know there's some fans that are concerned. You know, we've got a meddling owner now that's going to come down and you know, bang the table for her guy in the draft and just, you know, explode into the draft room, kick the doors open, say, this is the guy I want. That's not what Sheila Ford is doing at all. I think she's just doing due diligence. I mean, you have to remember, this is what her 8 month on the job or something. She just wants to see the process. She wants to see how the sausage is made. And that's what you should be doing as an owner. If something goes wrong, if some part of the process goes wrong, you need to know who to hold accountable for that. So being in those free agency meetings, she knows, well, if we decide to, you know, sign this guy or let this guy go, I know who said we should let this guy go, because I was right there in the meeting. And so this is the best way she can evaluate her own staff, which is a big part of her job. And I think I'm here for it. I'm here for it. To see that she's involved in the process and not just like kicking her feet back up on the table saying, when's the TV money coming in? You know, not necessary, not that, you know, her predecessors were necessarily doing that, but I definitely approve of a little bit more of a hands-on approach. And yeah, there are definitely concerns about maybe there being too many cooks in the kitchen. But I think I don't think Sheila is one of those too many cooks. You know, the team has an assistant GM. They have John Dorsey. They have Brad Holmes. They have a lot of Chris Spielman. They have a lot of people in there. And we kind of have to wait and see how that all is going to work out. But in terms of Sheila Ford Hamp being in there, I think it's part of her job to be there. And I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, I think that, well, to your point, I think she's more demonstrating leadership than she's turning into Jerry Jones. So
right.
I think we're going to be exactly. Okay there.
100%.
Yeah, she's not the GM. She's yeah. just the owner.
So I was listening to Sean Bellegian and Joyke Bell yesterday on this topic, and they think the same thing you do. It's just like, an incredible thing for her to want to reach out and learn about the whole process. So I think that was a really good thing. But really quick, what do you think about Kenny G? And not the saxophone player, but the Kenny Galladay and his impending decision that the Lions have to make.
It's a tough one. It's I think the worst case scenario, and it doesn't sound great for this being a word, is just like him playing out on the franchise tag. You know, it's estimated to be about $16 million. There's really just not a lot of point in the line spending that much for 1 year of Kenny Galladay. This is obviously a team in a long-term rebuild, and they're up against the cap too. They're probably going to have to restructure some contracts. They're probably going to have to cut at least five or six guys, which creates holes. Like if you cut Justin Coleman, if you cut, you know, any of those guys, like there has to be someone that fills the spot, and spending $16 million on a wide receiver for 1 year is just not smart. It doesn't make sense. That being said, they might use the franchise tag as leverage, whether it's to reach a long-term deal or to tag and trade, which is something that I think a lot of fans that would get excited about, because more draft picks means more excitement. But it's a risk. It's a risk because there's no guarantee you come to a deal with Kenny Galladay. There's no guarantee that a team is going to trade for Kenny Galladay on that $16 million year for a year deal. So it's a conundrum for the Lions, because he might be the most talented player on the roster now that Stafford's gone. And you don't want to be in the business of letting good guys like that go. I mean, Chris Spielman said on the radio, like, that the way to build a team is to draft good guys, extend them, and continue to do that. And so I think maybe the best case scenario is you reach a long-term deal with him and kind of make it a low cap hit in the early years, just so that you can manage the cap in the first couple of years. And then once it kind of frees up in the later years, then you can pay Kenny Galladay the money he's worth. But moving on from him is definitely a possibility. You get potentially a third round compensatory pick in return. And you free up, obviously, that cap space to just get a little bit younger, because even though he's just coming off his rookie deal, the guy's 27 years old, about to be 28. So not exactly a spring chicken either.
But it leaves Jared Goff with nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's the hard part about it.
Yep.
Because we're losing Marvin Jones, obviously, you know, Danny Amendola's history, you know. Yep. So we really do need to rebuild that entire, you know, there's a couple of people I like out there. Curtis Samuel is one of them.
Yeah.
That I think would be a good fit for Detroit. But anyway, I want to go to our comment cards now, and I want to see what the people have to say about the last video. Jeremy, if you want to jump in, you can. That would be great.
Sure.
Let me get back to this. There we go. Okay, so comment cards for today. We're going to start out with Sally Jacoby. And Sally says, I love Kenny G, but if keeping him hurts our rebuilding process, forget it. He will take it to Pro Bowl level wherever he goes, but if he can just stay healthy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I think Kenny Galladay has top 10 wide receiver potential. I think he was probably knocking on the door of it after last season. Health is definitely a concern. The fact that the hip injury took him out for essentially 2 months of the season is concerning. I'm not a doctor. I don't exactly know what was going on there, but you know, he's dealing with some injuries, I think, in his rookie season as well. But it's tough. It's all about the conundrum of building, you know, from scratch with the rebuild, or, you know, keeping a couple pieces here and there. And I think Kenny Galladay could really go either way.
Okay, Kurt, what you got?
All right. Rick Woods says, if we get a mediocre wide receiver as a free agent, he will cost us a bunch anyways. This way, near to trade deadline, if his stock is still up, we can maybe get a few teams to ante up for some draft picks, or if he is that great, we can consider signing him long term if the chemistry is good. If he busts, it's only a 1 year contract. Even sign a good wide receiver is a risk, as they could get injured as well as the chemistry is not there. Franchising. So basically, it's a long way to say, you know, either it could work out or it couldn't. But we're already kind of really talked on that.
Leonard McCullough vlog says, bringing back Kenny G gives Goff some weapons, which he allows us to get a real look at what he can do long term. I think that too, though. I mean, that's what I was trying to bring up to you, Jeremy, is that, you know what? You can't give the guy no weapons and then and give him a tryout and see how he is for 2 years and just not get a good look at him because he doesn't have anything. Doesn't really have a running game yet. Doesn't really have then he won't even have a passing game because we don't have anybody to throw to.
Just Cephas and Allison. And
right, Geronimo Allison. The one name I've been throwing out there is definitely not a Kenny Galladay replacement, but it answers some of those questions with, you know, chemistry with Goff and just giving him an option is Josh Reynolds.
Makes sense.
The Rams wide receiver who spent the last 4 years over there developing that relationship with Goff. He's coming off his best season. And so if they decide to move on from Kenny Galladay and they have that extra cap space of $16 million, he's someone that's not going to break the bank. I think he could probably be had for something like $6-7 million a year. So it's not quite bargain bin shopping, but it's also not breaking the bank on someone who you could have just used the money on Kenny Galladay for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me too. Right. Okay, what do we got next?
Okay, Coyote 5.0. Like the Mustang. All right. Lions are content with Goff as their quarterback, then they need to trade down and accumulate more picks.
Yeah, if the trade down can happen. I mean, this always sounds great and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of have to have a partner to trade with. This is not the easiest thing to do, as we know, as at the third pick overall for when we had to get Okuda and we couldn't find a partner.
Yeah. Exactly. I think quarterbacks in the draft is really how they fall is going to be key. If there's only, you know, if three or four go before the Lions are even on the clock, I think their chances of trading down are almost nothing. If only two maybe come off the board, then maybe there's a chance that there's, you know, a hungry team in the teens or so that the Lions can drop down. There was that trade in the Athletic. I can't remember if it was Washington or the Patriots. The Lions traded down all the way to 18 or 19. And I think that'd be amazing if they could pick up some extra draft picks. I think they picked up a third and next year's first, which would be incredible. The Lions would have three first round picks next year. But again, it's very easy to conduct those trades now.
Yeah.
Very, very much a more difficult thing to do late in April when you're on the clock.
Yeah, that makes sense to me too. All right. We got Wesley Kivenin. I hope I'm saying that right again. Fill out this year's roster with young free agent prospects and draft picks. We're not going to win any more than 6 or 7 games this year anyway. I totally agree with you there. But like I said, I still think this is like a Jared Goff kind of interview process for him. And are we doing him a disservice by not giving him a better team, you know, to work with?
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. I think you also have to consider, like, everyone that the Lions just hired are in it to win, right? Like, I understand that probably should be the overarching philosophy, but like, you just got a really good coaching staff. How are they going to feel if this team just kind of tanks this year, maybe even has to tank 2022? And like, you know, this team is sitting at 6, 7, 8 wins through 2 seasons. Like, how many of those guys are going to want to stick around? A lot of these guys we mentioned, they have head coaching potential. If you know, if Aaron Glenn is leading a really bad defense for 2 years, what's that going to do to his resume? What's it going to do for his feelings of sticking around in Detroit? So like, there are people in this organization that don't want to lose right away, and their jobs depend on it, really. So there has to be some sort of middle ground, and I really don't believe there's such a thing as tanking, which would kind of qualify if you're just adding like low tier free agents and you're relying on a bunch of young players. You're not going to win a bunch of games right away. And I don't think you have to find some sort of middle ground, just because there are emotions involved here, and everything can't just be transaction. You can't just be like, well, let's suck for 2 years and then we'll be great in year three. Like, that, you just can't work that way.
All right. Last one we have is MBG238. Says, hey guys, I look forward to your show every day. Hey, thanks for that. Hey, I'm really pumped about our new regime in Detroit. Fingers crossed.
Oh yeah, fingers crossed, right, Jeremy?
Yeah,
you got it. I mean, Lions fans just permanently have their fingers crossed, I think, at this point.
Fingers and
I think
toes.
If they could cross everything in their body, I think they would. I think, yeah, just, that's our thing, man.
Everything.
Living in misery. All right, let's come to the question of the day. And this one's kind of a fun one. So we'll get to that. If I can, right now my screen is frozen. There we go. Hey, you get a little look into the show, guys. All right. How long do you think Jeremy keeps the stash? That's the question of the day. See, we're going to have a little fun today. All right.
Yeah.
How long do you think Jeremy, the Stash Reisman, keeps the stash? Because it is, it's every week. It's like, hey, if I get this much donation to this thing, then I'll keep it. And every time.
Yeah.
How old will you be when you finally get to shave that mustache?
Yeah, we look forward to hearing your comments on that on tomorrow's show.
Yes.
And now it is time for the dessert with your man, Kurt.
Yes.
Now, this is a special kind of anniversary for my first time working with Jeremy. We just had the anniversary of the sad anniversary of the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. And if Jeremy, you remember, the first time I ever worked with him was on the Die Hard Den with him and Eric came on the show and we did a round robin discussion about race relations in the nation and in the NFL. And that was my first time working with him. And it has been a pleasure ever since. Him and Eric have been great friends of the show and just great sounding boards. They helped me through school, both of those guys. Interviewed them for projects for school, and I'm just so happy to see them guys working together finally. But thank you so much and for that opportunity to let me interview you and ask you questions and participate in that roundtable this time last year. So
I really appreciate that. Of course. No problem. And I appreciate the kind words in return. And I remember that conversation, Kurt. It was a great conversation. It was an important conversation. It's a tough conversation. And I think I learned more just sitting there and listening than talking myself. And I'd welcome to do anything like that again, because I'm here to learn about that sort of stuff. I don't know how valuable of a voice I am on topics like that, but I think it's something, it's a good conversation just to have and to have people come together and talk about things like that. So I appreciate you reaching out to me for that opportunity to really just sit and listen, because it was a good talk.
Yeah, it was so definitely cool. Honored. That was my dessert. Hey, we will do a reposting of that show on the Die Hard Den. We will definitely post it here on Detroit Lions on the Prowl.
Yes.
Just for that, to want to make sure that if you haven't heard that conversation with Jeremy and Eric, you can check it out. I will repost it very soon on the Die Hard Den and Detroit Lions on the Prowl audio versions of our show.
And if we ever want to do a part two, I would really like to be involved in that as well. Because I think it's something that needs to be to the forefront of the conversation, I think. And I think our organization is doing a wonderful job with diversity, hiring and doing the right thing, hiring just the right guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that we need to take away from some of that is, you know, who cares? Just hire the right person, you know? Because we've been in misery for years, you know?
Hiring the wrong person.
We need the right guys in here. I don't care, you know, whatever. You know, so
you know what I call them in the Patricia era? They were homie hires.
Homie hired.
Hired a whole bunch of his homies.
Yes, he did.
It was like a frat party in here. Hey, it's time to close out the show. Jim, what you got, man?
I just want to show my appreciation for Jeremy. Jeremy's up at 6 a.m. this morning doing the show with us, and I really appreciate you. And every time I got a question, you answer it for me. You helped me out so much. And I've really become friends with you, and I really appreciate that friendship. I do. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Of course, no problem. And the thing I always say, you know, it feels like sometimes this business can be more competitive based, like, you know, we need to get more views or hits or whatever. Yeah. that's never been the way I've viewed the Lions media community. I try to be friendly and give as many opportunities as I can, because listen, there are a lot of people that love Lions football. There's plenty of room for all of us, and they're insatiable. Like, they'll watch YouTube videos all day to get the latest information, the most interesting opinions. This is one of the best sports cities in the country. I truly believe that. So there's plenty of room for everybody. So whatever I can do to help, because I was in all y'all seats 10, 10 years ago seems like maybe it's too much, but like sometimes even 5 years ago, I mean, we weren't credentialed with the team 5 years ago. So we're all in the same boat here trying to start, you know, go and steer in the right direction. And if I can do anything to help, I would be more than willing, because you guys know your stuff.
Yeah, thank you. And us too. If we can do anything to help you, we always promote your stuff when we steal it from you. And, so a lot of our news and rumors segments are your stuff. So we always say shout out to Pride of Detroit with Jerry Herring over there, because you do really good work over there. And Eric is going to be an amazing, amazing companion for you guys over there, and it's going to help you guys a lot.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I got one more little memory of Jeremy before I close the show out. I interviewed Jeremy for a school project, and I swear he wore the oldest Detroit Tigers hat in history.
Oh, yeah. I still got that thing.
I was like, you know, this was great, right? But I was like, but he was gracious enough to come on and do an interview with me. I really appreciate everything you do in your lane, man. We really appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us. Hey, you know who we are. We are Detroit Lions on the Prowl. You're home for Detroit Lions news and rumors. And as always, subscribe to the channel. Join the family. We don't have fans. We don't have viewers. We got family, people. And don't be afraid to join the family, because it's all love right here for Detroit Lions on the Prowl. And you can go over to bellyupsports.com and check us out over there. And you can go over there and check out a bunch of different podcasts, all the sports you want, hard-hitting journalistic articles written over there by a great team of writers. And you can catch the audio version of this show on the page right there. You can click the link down below and check out the audio version on what? Skull Candy headphones. You can purchase a set of Skull Candy headphones on the link below, and a portion of the sales from that link go to help us grow this show.
Hey, one more thing what before we go. You got to go to Pride of Detroit. Check out Jeremy Rice.
Definitely got
to
do that.
Check out his Twitch channel, because their talks are, well, sometimes about football. Occasionally. But no, he's got some great stuff over there. He covers the Lions every single day with brand new news. And with Eric over there, there's just going to be twice as much coverage. And I get a lot of my news there. Just letting you know, I get a lot of my news from Jeremy at Pride of Detroit. .com. So go to prideofdetroit.com, listen to the POD podcast. It's really good stuff, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of funny stuff, and some Lions stuff too.
And their Madden Sims are awesome.
Yeah, I love that too.
Madden Sims are awesome. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I had to shout you out, man.
Definitely. Now it's time to get out of here. And you can follow him at Detroit on Lions on Twitter. So, hey, you can find it down there, right below his lower third graphic. His Twitter handle's right there. So it's time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. So you know what you got to do. Whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man Jim and Jeremy right here on Detroit Lions on the Prowl, this is Kurt Steele, and we will holler at you real soon.